Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Dave Glover Show, sponsored by Michael's Flooring Outlet, the flooring experts. IGotFloor.com.
Afternoon, St. Louis, DGS and KMOX. Happy friggin' Friday to everybody. Took a walk out there. It's 50 degrees.
Nice.
Sweet. So nice.
Nice.
Enjoy it for the next 6 hours.
That's right. It's gonna be cold again.
What was it? Not an Arctic blast. The
polar vortex.
Oh, don't say that to Dave Murray.
Oh, man.
Makes him insane.
What is a bomb cyclone?
That's don't say that for sure.
Why, he gets mad about bomb cyclone?
Yes, he does.
Bombo Genesis. What
were you stuck in, a booby?
Oh, no, right, a haboob. Well.
What were you, what?
A what?
What was the
were
verb?
Were you stuck
there?
In a booby?
Hey,
stuck?
Been there, buddy.
Yeah. What's a haboob?
I have been there.
That a could haboob. Not have sounded more like you know what.
A
let me, has
no,
anybody ever?
I know. No,
but it didn't
not...
sound like you said stuck.
I didn't. Well, I wasn't stuck in the haboob. I outran the haboob.
Oh.
What's a
wow,
haboob?
There's a start to the
so
show.
So a haboob is a sandstorm that happens in the desert.
Love it.
Yeah. And your frequent commutes from Chicago to St. Louis.
Well, I used to go
right
to
Peoria.
Yeah.
There's a Peoria, Arizona where I used to go.
The Bloomington Desert.
So I used to go to spring training every year in Arizona, and we had a haboob warning, and I had to leave the ballpark early so I could get to the hotel so I wouldn't miss the haboob. Because you cannot drive in a haboob.
No,
did
no
the
everybody
haboob
knows
hit?
That. Yeah.
Oh, the haboob
you,
hit.
You got to experience it?
I experienced the haboob from indoors.
Would it choke you?
It did not choke me because I was inside. Yeah.
Was,
but
your,
dangerous.
Was your car
you
covered in sand afterwards?
A little bit, but it wasn't terrible.
It's not a sandstorm. It's a wind thing?
It's a wind, sand. I don't... It looks like a whole thing is coming at you. It's like a tidal wave. It's scary.
Like a Tom Cruise movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Independence Day.
Yeah, or like in The Mummy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mummy.
Tom Cruise was not in Independence Day.
No, I'm thinking of like when the big ships come in with the clouds. No,
I was
thinking
you picked
I get what you mean. Yeah, thanks, Kevin.
It's not Tom Cruise.
You picked
the one movie from the 1990s that he was not in.
Right. So,
oh, yeah. Right, like Waiting for Guffman. Right.
That was Liam Neeson.
But you know how the clouds, they what?
I'm kidding.
No, but the clouds kind of park as the big ships are coming in. Yep. It looks like that.
Yeah.
It's scary.
Yeah.
It's
I had never even heard of a haboob until you said you got stuck in one.
You need to stop saying that.
Why?
Just as a personal favor to me.
You guys said it 52 times.
What? That the haboob
We're
hit me in
dudes.
The face?
Yeah. Dude, say haboob.
Yeah. Dudes rock. We're just guys being dudes.
Man, it's going to be like this for a week, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Barking with my dog.
Yeah, barking with my dog.
I have had...
It's going to be Planet of the Apes.
You stupid
Rachel's
woman,
back.
Don't talk about haboobs.
This is men talk. Yeah, the last time Rach was gone, it went downhill fast.
Pretty much. I don't know, is it more Lord of the Flies or Planet of the Apes?
So I wore a brand new fisherman sweater today.
Yeah.
Like a big, knotty, thick fisherman sweater like I'm... The Gordon's Fisherman or singing sea shanties, and every single person I've seen has commented because it's not my style at all. Mm-hmm. And I walked in, but everyone's been pretty nice about it.
It does look good. It was
then
a good fit.
I walked into, not according to Beth, Beth was like, "What the hell are you doing? It's way too short and it's way too tight." And then Steve goes, "It's because Rachel's gone and Andrew's dressing him now."
That's really funny.
It's pretty funny. It's like, just, Rachel, get your ass back here.
Oh,
Dave looks ridiculous.
You know, our boss is surprisingly funny.
He's very
funny.
Steve is funny.
Yeah. He's really funny. Beth is also brutal. I thought they were nice shorts with a blazer. And she goes, "Oh, you're wearing shorts now, work now, huh? Looks like you're getting ready to bend over my car at a car wash."
Damn.
And I was like, "Sheesh. Oh my God."
I think you were sexually harassed.
Wow.
And so anyway, I've been sensitive about wearing shorts ever since.
Jeez.
Beth just lays it out there.
Is this why Steve tells us not to wear shorts to work? Because Beth will be mean to us?
No, I found out the hard way.
Beth, though.
She'll do it.
I love Beth.
Yeah, Beth's then, like, you know what? Oh, did you see Amy today? She's showing ankle. Yeah.
Maria Kina walked by and Beth goes, "What do you think of Dave's sweater?" She won't say anything mean. She goes,
"I liked your sweater."
Thank you.
I did too.
Thank you.
I even told you it looked like a coordinated outfit.
Yeah.
Because you had the boots that are kind of almost the matching the patch on your hat.
Yeah.
And then the hat and the jeans kind of matched. And then the sweater was the contrast.
Wearing it on the warmest day of the month was not the best idea.
That was a move.
And it's gamey in here today, so I had to take it off.
Yeah.
It is hot in here today.
Should I tie it around my neck like a 90s douchebag?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that, non-ironically, or around your waist?
A sweater?
I think I put jackets around my waist.
I've done that just to not have to carry it.
Yeah.
Yeah, around my waist, not over my shoulders.
You know, I've never had a members-only jacket, and I keep seeing them, and I keep thinking, you know what? I should give it a try.
I mean, back in the day, they were the deal. And they're comfortable and light.
The best.
Poofy. Yeah.
Just great. The best.
Huh. Yeah.
Should I do it?
But they ripped easy,
though.
Oh,
yeah, you should do it.
They ripped easy, though. Like, if you caught on anything, it was like...
Oh, I thought you meant like...
Oh, no.
When you'd Hulk out.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I went to the twerp dance, which was like... Other people call them the Sadie Hawkins dance, where the girls ask the boys. Did you guys call them Sadie Hawkins?
Why do they call it the twerp dance?
Because we're from Roxanne and we can't do anything
like,
right.
Oh, yeah, you're a twerp. The girl asked you.
No, it stands for the woman is requested to pay.
What?
Oh, what, yeah.
You're
what?
Blowing my mind right now.
I've never even heard of that.
So it's I've never heard that.
IRP, not ERP.
My wife went to Wood River as well, Wood River Roxana High School, and they had the twerp dance, and I said,
I've never even heard that.
No, me neither.
The woman is requested to pay.
When Dave just mentioned it, I thought it was like, hey, you want to go out with me, you little twerp?
Yeah.
I thought it was like that.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah.
No, it's when the girls ask the guys.
Right, well, but the idea never heard the guys were twerps for
having to be asked.
Like
by
it being some kind of old-timey joke about being less of a man.
Maybe that's where the name comes from.
I don't know.
Maybe that's where twerp comes from.
Oh.
Who is Sadie Hawkins?
Some lady that used to ask out guys.
Yeah.
A very forward young woman.
I'm betting a suffragette of some kind.
It sounds very suffragette-y, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Sadie Hawkins? Well, yeah. I mean, like, a lot of old-timey names sound like things like that.
Or frozen cakes and pies.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wore a members-only outfit. Ooh. I had, like, gray slacks, a pink shirt, a maroon tie, and a maroon members-only jacket. And I thought I was just...
You don't even have to show me a photo. I guarantee you look great.
Yeah. All right, so Sadie Hawkins was a comic strip character.
From Lil Abner.
Huh.
Yeah. I don't.
This is from Wikipedia. Yeah. It's a pseudo holiday originated by Al Capp's hillbilly comic strip Lil Abner. I don't know if you have to call it a hillbilly comic strip.
I never read it.
I think
maybe
you picked that up pretty quick.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem very nice.
don't even know what Lil Abner is.
Yeah, it's an old timey one.
Yeah, we had it. It was in the Post for a long time. Probably still is. Last time I looked at the Post, I'm like, yeah, there's Beetle Bailey.
Do they still have a hard copy? Like, is there a comic section in the hard copy Sundays?
Probably.
I don't know.
Probably. I'm the one guy in December who tried to sign up for the newspaper to be delivered, not knowing that they were getting rid of it in January. So.
Oh.
Yeah. But it was expensive. It's like $80 a month or something like that.
Yep.
So, but I just love the aesthetic of a newspaper.
Too. Yeah. I got the New York Times and Wall Street Journal every day, which was just a lot of paper.
It's hard to be satisfied with it now because you know that when you pick up a newspaper, all of that's old.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's at least 12 hours old.
Yes. Yeah. And that it's so easy to get information quickly now.
Yeah.
Hey, I did something fun.
What'd you did?
I put together the Chris and Amy DGS cabinet.
Cabinet?
Yes.
Mm.
What jobs I would give you guys.
Oh, okay. All right. So you're the president.
Yes.
All right.
So I'd love to hear yours as well.
All right.
So my spokesperson is Rachel.
Yeah, good call.
Can't
She's
you see
measured.
That?
Calm. Yes.
Can't you see that?
Yeah, stable. Yeah, yeah.
My chief of staff, Andrew.
All right.
Yeah,
get stuff done.
Constantly protecting me, looking out for me.
Get stuff done.
He's the gatekeeper.
Yep.
The enforcer.
My Secretary of Defense, Wheels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I got that.
Strong.
We'll bomb people.
Right?
He's got those pipes.
He's a real hawk.
Amy is my Secretary of State.
Oh, because she reads.
That's right.
She
right.
She's the
just
one.
She knows
just
stuff.
The one person.
Literate person in the entire cabinet.
She's the one of the six of us that reads.
Can
so we're like,
read. Check.
Secretary of Reading.
Not can read. Just
does read.
Yeah. She's going to have to talk
we
to.
We all can.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
We just choose not to.
Chris is the jester.
Ranj.
Yeah.
Because he is good for morale.
Yeah.
Is my VP.
Oh,
whoa.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
So I don't really have to do anything, just be around.
You just have to go around.
I'm into that.
That's the best job.
I am into that.
That's a solid cabinet right there.
You nailed it, dude. I think that would get confirmed by any Congress.
You guys have any suggestions for your own cabinets out of us?
Out of us?
Amy's got a couple.
Yeah.
I can tell by the snicker.
Amy's like, I'm the president. The rest of you died mysteriously.
You can all go home. You're all fired.
The rest of you died under mysterious circumstances.
You're all fired.
And then there was one.
I keep saying I'm going to run for emperor. Do I have a cabinet? If I'm an emperor?
You have anything you want.
Yeah.
I mean, you get to choose. So
that's you have yes men.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amy?
Yes?
Tell us about your cabinet.
I don't have. I didn't think this through.
Yes, she did. This
I don't have
mean.
A cabinet. It's just hard.
It's
just hard
mean.
To pick from so many.
No, you know
what
she's thinking.
So much talent.
I know what's going on behind those eyes. It's I wouldn't pick any of you for anything.
Yeah. We
that's
all
what
know
she,
this.
That's what she's doing.
We all know this.
Even though the exercise is you have to pick us, she's. I'm not. I wouldn't.
Amy.
Yeah. I wouldn't.
Amy cannot play poker.
No, she can't.
I can't.
No.
That's a good. This is because a lot of them. I think you nailed them. I think a lot of them would be the same.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you would be in a different position. So maybe you would be vice president, and I go Secretary of Defense with Ranj. But I wouldn't change the Amy one. I wouldn't change the Rachel one, and I wouldn't change Andrew.
VP is great.
I wouldn't
for
want
me.
To be president under any circumstances.
VP is great for me because you do the least. I can get you in trouble anywhere else.
Yeah.
Right.
No. It's all title.
Know. Yeah.
The vice president is all title.
I know this is different than the whole cabinet, but just as like a position, like I feel like Andrew would be a good like White House press secretary because he's kind of calm and he'll kind of answer anything as, you know, like, you know, you're coming from a background
of
knowledge.
Especially if they come in and ask about like voles or fast food.
No, true. But no matter what he says, even if you don't know what you're talking about, it sounds like he does. And I just think he would have that demeanor of like he could be a press secretary, even if you're faking it.
He could just answer that no matter what they ask him.
Yeah.
Like, can you tell us about President Glover's new agenda?
No.
So Taco Bell.
Or the explanation of Sonic and Knuckles. That would be great.
Right.
Uh-huh.
But then also
they
you
don't
could,
kiss
let's
yet.
Say you don't want to answer a question. I feel like you could wear them out by attrition.
Oh.
Yeah.
Just with your answer, just have such a meandering
way. Can you
imagine
if Wheeler was a spokesperson?
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean?
Nobody
come up
would
here and ask me.
Oh,
nobody would show up. It'd be great.
Yeah. No, because your press conferences would take way too long.
They would be fights.
Oh, well, that too.
It would be
no, I mean, like, it would be an argument. Oh, yeah. You really? You think so? And,
yeah,
and it would just never stop. Question one
would be Sean Spicer.
Yeah, you get Peter Ducey like up on the stand.
Yeah,
with you,
let's
and
go.
Like,
Peter.
All right, you give yours, then I'll give mine.
Every answer we start with. So what you're saying is,
it'd be one question, and then it would be an hour, and everybody'd be like, "All right, we got to go to do stuff."
It's about your logic, Peter, and it's been like 45
minutes. Think about
minutes
how effective that would be, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be super effective.
They couldn't. They just couldn't claim you're not answering
just
questions.
Just one question a day. Hey, I'm not. I'm not only am I answering it, I'm getting into it.
I do think a lot of us, maybe all of us, we could, if we wanted, wear people out. We could wear them out. If you were the press secretary, you're only.
You think?
I can't believe that not one of us made Amy's cabinet.
Amy's like, no chance.
She's like Ackerman,
Debbie Monterey.
Megan.
Beth, Megan.
Yep. She wouldn't even entertain it.
Yep. Yeah, you won't even play. Who's your VP?
Well, what's funny is it...
Is it Ronj?
No.
She has... When you asked the question, she made the face of somebody who hates seafood, and you offer her a piece of flounder.
And she's like,
I
and
hate
she just
him
like,
so much, and I never hate him more than when
you're actually,
right.
You're actually kind of pulling a wheeler here. Yeah. You're not playing by the game.
That's true. Kevin
First of
does
all,
this
is
crap.
Ridiculous. Yeah. I would never be president.
I'm trying to be president.
Yeah.
And this would be.
Yeah. Show a little whimsy.
So you do this too.
That's all I'm saying. Would you make one of us like Secretary of the Interior? Because nobody knows what that is.
I know.
Yeah,
it's like
a throwaway job.
Yeah. How about HUD?
Can I have education?
Can Andrew be the urban development guy?
Can I be like ambassador to Canada or something? Come on now.
Hell yeah.
There's a fake job.
You have to pick a vice president.
A vice, okay.
Of the crew.
And you can't say Rachel because she's not here.
Then we'll get to the other one. Yeah, you can say she can say
this
Rachel.
Made me blow bubbles. I didn't even mean to.
Well, okay, here's the thing.
Oh, God.
Well, no. Ronji would be a great vice president for all of the reasons that Glover mentioned. Like, he's just charming. He goes out to people, talks to them. I feel like Glover would also be a good vice president because it's about winning people over, right?
Can we be co-vice president?
Yeah, you can be the charmers.
The first ever?
Co-VP.
Someone tells me if Ronji were your VP, you got to watch your back.
Yeah.
He'll be tripping you on the stairs.
He's already pulling chairs out from underneath him.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So here's the thing is like.
Going to throw you off the roof, Madam President.
My two big concerns would be like, Ronji wouldn't respect the office. Yeah, I would think it hilarious to kick the president down the stairs.
Can this broken.
Amy, you'll have Secret Service. They can take care of that.
And Glover would be safe in that regard, but I feel like there might be like one or two jokes that might get the administration in trouble. Yep. So there are risks with both options.
So you're going with
Ronji brings more physical harm, for sure. Yeah.
Right.
I'd just be in the background hoping that broken foot gets infected, you know? And then I have to become president because you died.
You're saying you're going to choose Rachel, then, is what you're saying.
I don't think vice presidents are allowed to spend this much time at like Christmas-themed bars and...
No, I don't know.
What are you talking about?
What if I made him ambassador to Chicago?
Can. Who would who would even know if the vice president's doing that?
Right.
That's right.
I'm making Ronj ambassador to Chicago.
I want to be the vice president because you get your own house.
Yeah.
There's a house
the
for
Naval,
you.
Naval
Observatory.
Yeah. Which I just learned about and it sounds really nice.
You could throw some good parties there.
I'm down.
I think it sounds like you're being a little creepy on the Navy.
What?
Naval Observatory.
And I honestly wouldn't have to spend that much time around you. As vice president.
Ideally
you could
not.
Never fly together.
In
right?
the movie
Can't
Dave.
Never fly together.
In the movie Dave, he sent his vice president to Africa all the time.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
DGS. Oops. I love being a guy. Like Chris said on one of the breaks, like, do you remember when Bill Murray played Hercules? And it's been years. I immediately went, that boulder is too large.
Perhaps I could move a smaller one. I had forgotten all about the way they intentionally screwed up the dubbing to make it look bad like a foreign movie. I forgot all about that.
Just genius. That was when I was like a teenager and just coming into my own with humor. And I'm like, I know it's funny now. That's funny. That's
Hercules,
what it is.
You really let yourself go.
Is it that noticeable? Perhaps I could lift a smaller one.
Oh, my God.
Woo! Oh, man. Hey, I listened to Gas House Gang.
Nice.
Yeah, I was driving home last night. We had a little birthday party for Nick. Well done.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't think it would suck with you and Bernie and Tom and Paulie, but really good.
Yeah, we had a fun time. I mean, it's interesting because...
8 p.m. every night?
Well, it depends. If there's a Billikens game, no. But on any night where there's no like broadcast of a game like that.
Yeah.
What's fascinating is the 40 minutes. I know you guys are going to be shocked by this, but 40 minutes is not enough. Because 40 minutes makes up an hour of radio later, right? So we do 40 on the live. Yeah. And then that makes up the hour later. It's just, you always end up going, dang, there's like five things we didn't get to.
It's impressive.
Yeah. But, I mean, you got four big mouths, so.
Yeah, that's the Gas House.
Yeah.
Are you the biggest mouth?
Yeah. Wow. Me and Bernie are pretty close in terms of, like, I'm louder than Bernie, but, like, we're pretty close in terms of number of words.
Yeah, it's not very efficient, is it?
No. We're both like that. Which is why we always laugh that we're always off time. Like, oh, crap.
You ever get tired of talking?
Never.
Hmm. It's just wild.
It's my superpower.
It's just interesting. I mean, I think the rest of us get to a point where we're like, that's enough for the day.
Yeah, I mean, I get that when I get home,
I feel
sit down on the couch.
Wheeler, it shifts your standard. And so I feel like the rest of us don't talk very much until you get around other people and then you realize, we are the most talkative people in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, people would lose their minds if they like hung out with us.
I'm super not talkative outside of here, though. I don't know about you guys. Like,
it all depends on where I'm at and who I'm with.
Yeah.
You know?
If I'm with someone and I'm somewhere, I'm talking.
No, I just...
If there are humans and they want to hear something, I tend to talk a lot.
Perhaps I could talk about that smaller boulder.
It appears to be smaller in size. Yeah, wait.
Wait, Kevin, when you're talking, do you ever think that's... like, in your mind, while words are coming out, do you ever start thinking, this is too many words?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, I need to stop now. Yeah, I do that. Sometimes you stop, sometimes you don't, though.
Mm.
Sometimes you got to keep going.
Do you ever start talking, and this is for anybody, and you're in the middle of a thought, and you're blurting it out, and you're thinking actively while you're talking, I don't know where this is going.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I do that all the time.
Yes. That's normal. Yeah, that's a human.
Yeah. I don't know what my end game is here.
I don't know my end game. I don't know where to exit. I'm stuck. So now, but you're thinking, so you just have to keep saying words. Yeah. Oh, I hate that feeling.
The one where you don't know the exit, I get that one all the time. You're like, all right, how do I finish this?
Get that from Steve.
Yeah.
Find an exit.
How do I finish this?
Find an exit.
Four times you came by, not look. Talked about the reservoir, his thumbs were hooked on his carpenter's belt, and he squinted in the sun. He smiled wide many times, think he smiled back once. And it's frightening, ooh, I didn't expect that from you. It's blinding, serious, are you seriously?
Welcome back, guys, DGS 134. We're just talking about the... streets, like that's the topic of the last couple of weeks for obvious reasons. And I just want to say something fairly strong, and I'm speaking for myself. Steve and I, our boss, we talked about this. I mean, KMOX is the voice of St. Louis, but we're not the voice of St. Louis government. We're the voice of the city. And so I feel like it is our right and maybe obligation to call things out. And between the streets, this debacle, officials being accused of taking company cars to go check on a possibly cheating spouse in Jefferson City, the whole thing that we went through with the prosecuting attorney's office,
Oh, there's a new one, too, by the way.
What's that?
I think it was Channel 2 had an investigative report about how people are abusing medical leave. City employees are abusing medical
leave. Yes, 601 day.
Yeah, and using it as vacation
days.
Yes,
yeah. Yes. Here's my point. We're such a joke to the outside world, and I defend us to the outside world. I defend my family to the outside world. But sometimes you sit down with your family and you go, we got some problems. Mm-hmm. I think it's time to do that. We here in St. Louis need to have a little family conversation because we're an embarrassment. And it's not because the people of St. Louis, unless you blame us for the people that we vote in. Have you noticed, like, when someone's appointed, like Gabe Gore, they're usually nails. Yeah. But when you leave it to the electorate, they make bad choices. It's just, this is getting, it's beyond bad. It's becoming really embarrassing.
You need competent administrators and not people that are that you really want to spend. See, I think what we do too much in local politics is it becomes about ideology and big national politics. And
we had that whole conversation
right.
today.
And it doesn't matter. Local politics is not about the big stuff. It's about doing the little things. It's not about any big picture philosophy.
Yep.
It's about getting the trash and fixing the roads and moving the snow.
Amen.
And making sure that everything runs the way it is supposed to. That's what it's about.
Whether you're the mayor or a governor or an attorney general, your focus should be on either your city, your ward, your state, your congressional district.
Your school district.
Your school district, whatever it is. That should be your focus. And we did. We had this conversation with Michael and John earlier today. Do the stuff you're supposed to do really well. Make sure that the basic needs are met. And then once you have those things met, then you maybe can introduce some bigger picture stuff.
Which
the bigger picture stuff does matter. But there's only so much a mayor can do about income inequality.
Right.
That is a federal issue. That's a countrywide issue.
Or at least
issue.
A state issue, right?
State issue, sure. Yeah. But it's just not something you can really handle as mayor. Handle the stuff the day-to-day. Handle all of those things first, and then maybe you could take on a bigger project.
And all of these little infights, you know, like Green saying, hey, we need an emergency status, and the mayor saying, no, we don't. But we need something. I don't care what you call it. Call it a blue haiku tattoo. I don't care what you call it. Just get the damn trucks out there. Yeah. And, well, we're going to have them next summer. Okay, well, what do we have now? Do we have some pickup trucks? We went out to the house last night to have Nick's birthday, and he and his girlfriend live in Lafayette Square. And Nick's like, I'm sorry, Dad, but can you come by and pick us up? We literally can't get our car out. And
I'm thinking, 10, 11 days later.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, and they just got back from Cancun. Yeah. So they walked into this. And so I pull down their street in a four-wheel drive Rubicon going 5 miles an hour, trying not to hit the cars on either side of me. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, and I think, you know, all of the mayor's excuses, because that's what they are, like, oh, this is unusual, it's unprecedented. No, it's not. And like, nope. Oh, our streets are narrow. Oh, people park on the street. Yes, because it's a city. We're not special. Our streets aren't narrower than other cities that have historic districts. Everyone parks on the street. Clayton, they park on the street there in the Moorlands. Those streets are narrow. They take smaller trucks. And guess what we do? We dig ourselves out. That's just what you do, because other people now who are in Soulard, who in Hamilton Heights, all around Tower Grove Park, South City, well, because the mayor says they park on the streets and they'd be snowed in. Well, now they're really stuck because the roads are bad. We had a caller in North City. It sounded like an older woman who said she's been stuck in her house for 2 weeks and an ambulance got stuck on their street. Now we're talking, it's a huge issue. I know in Soulard, neighbors are helping each other out because they're elderly people who can't get groceries, can't get out of their homes, can't go to doctor's appointments. The mayor is in D.C. raising money for her campaign. And I do think this is bad for the mayor. I saw multiple people on social media say, when can I vote for Kara Spencer? Like, they're just so frustrated. And then the disconnect of the mayor's video messages looks terrible.
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 Yeah, and look, we all understand that we are not, in this particular region, we are not as prepared for big snow as Chicago, Detroit, Buffalo, whatever. Fine. If you can't do it all in one day, we're almost 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
We're 11 days past the fact. And I haven't seen a truck anywhere doing anything. Like, there's been no effort since the last snowflake fell in the early morning hours a week ago Monday. So 11 days ago. Again, we understand it might take time. I understand that. If it takes more, if it's not ready to go by Monday, you know, PM drive. All right, I get it. I understand. But it can't be 11 days later and nothing. I almost got run off of Tucker yesterday.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Because I'm driving towards the Museal Bridge because I take 70 west to go home.
Brave.
It is. Unfortunately, that area around Forest Park just gets too congested, so I don't take that way on the way home. But I'm going down that way on Tucker, and when you get to a certain point, there is no more right lane. It's just not there because snow is piled up there. And some idiot wasn't paying attention. I'm driving in the left, and they weren't going to stop for any reason. They just wing out in front and almost clip me and run me off the road because you can't see it. I don't blame this person as much as I blame the city. I mean, the person needs to pay better attention because when you're seeing something like that, your move should be to stop and not just immediately pull into a lane before you look. But that lane, that's been blocked like that, so the right turn lane that would head you down toward Broadway so that you can take the entrance to 70 back on that back way, the lane's not there. The only people that could go on that snow would be people in big trucks because otherwise you're gonna run off the road or you're going to get stuck. And that's 10, 11 days later, and that's a high-traffic area going to both the Museal Bridge and the 70 entrance heading west.
And it's a nice day out there. There's a lot of melting going on, but I guarantee it's not Milton Nick Street.
No.
And when it refreezes tomorrow and Sunday and Monday and Tuesday?
It's going to be an ice rink for 3 or 4 more days.
And you shouldn't have hope or be positive because the head of the streets department was like, oh, man, I didn't know the roads were so bad, like 2 days ago.
So they blamed it on not getting the right information from employees.
Okay.
Like,
that's
a
you problem.
Yeah, but also, it's been on TV every night.
Right.
It's been on Twitter every day. It's on the radio every day. It's in the Post-Dispatch every day. People have been talking and writing and covering this for 8-9 days now, and you're just now going, well, I got bad information? Are you in a cocoon? Are you not? I mean, are you just in a bunker somewhere, not looking at anything else?
At some point, it's like firing the hockey coach of a team that's not performing. Maybe it's not completely their fault. Maybe it's not even primarily their fault. But at some point, you got to make a change. Something has to change this.
And I know that it's a bigger, more complicated issue. This is all happening at a time when the city is sitting on more cash than it's ever had.
Ridiculous.
Right? I mean, you still have the COVID relief money. You still have the Rams money. And I'm not saying that you can just spend. I know you got to invest it. I know you got to do it. But, like, you've never been better off to handle day-to-day problems. I can't even imagine living on one of these streets and you haven't had your garbage picked up in 2 weeks.
Mm-mm. That's another thing. Garbage cans are just overflowing. Dumpsters are overflowing.
Mail.
And like I said, Metro High School, the gym, nationally recognized. Cars were getting stuck today. They get stuck every day. So again, almost 2 weeks later, cars are getting stuck. Teachers, students falling because there's ice because they haven't touched McPherson. It's just ice. And I'm like, how are you okay with this? How is anyone okay with this?
I mean, this is stuff you should get fired for. This is stuff you should get primaried over. Because if you can't do this, you'll never get the big stuff done because you're not good enough.
Well,
right?
Michael put it, he said, you know, as a Democrat, as a progressive, he goes, I always viewed progressivism as an add-on to basic government functions. Do what you're supposed to do and then add those things on. Yeah. There's that Nat Glaser, who was the public interest. He was a professor at Harvard and UC Berkeley. He said, and he was talking about New York. He said, cities stopped doing what cities did well, and they tried to do what no one can do well. They stopped picking up trash and filling potholes and building buildings for growing populations. And they started trying to solve inequality and personal problems and homelessness, which no one can do. So save the big transformative visions for the federal government, if you want, for the state, if you want. The city is not the equivalent to the state, the federal government. The city needs to pick up the trash and plow the roads.
Yeah, and this is
why she's my Secretary of State.
Yeah,
and problem, look at my VP.
I know.
Silent.
Yeah.
As he should be.
Yeah. I said what I had to say.
This is the thing. So the problem, though, is that what is at least my perception of what's happening is people are going into those bigger things because that motivates voters. voters are not going to be motivated by, I'm going to make sure your roads are good, that we have enough police officers. They're not motivated by that. They're motivated by those bigger ticket issues. And that doesn't that's not just in the city.
It's statewide.
Happening out, yeah, that's happening in every county and
everywhere. We're sending National Guard to the border. We're Missouri.
Right, right.
So
are all of the people that are running are more interested in what it takes to get elected than actually doing the job. And everything is just an audition for the next job. You want to have that profile so then now I can run for Congress or for the Senate.
And the way to go from mayor to state senator or whatever the next jump is to handle this stuff. Mm-hmm. People only really care about the big highfalutin issues at happy hour and election time. And what we care, wouldn't it be great if this had been the other way? Like, wow, we got 14 inches of snow and they knocked this thing out in 5 days. That's fantastic.
Yeah. And in fairness, we have to blame voters too.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I mean, all of us.
That's how we get leaders.
Maybe not each of us individually, but we as a society, we bite on the stupid issues and not on the practical ones.
See, that's where I'm going with this because I would liken doing the little stuff and handling the day-to-day, the administrative, the making sure the trash is picked up, streets are plowed, all that stuff. I would liken that to good policy that a president might have, for example, that has actually done good for people, but that may not be the narrative. The narrative might be that this person is incapable, and the reason we say they're incapable is because, this one little thing doesn't happen. I don't know if people pay enough attention. What does get their attention is the national talking point stuff.
Jeez, like when he's already running for my job.
Like seriously, I think that's why you have state officials worried about national. Like I mentioned, sending troops to the border. We're not on the border, but we did it because it plays nationally
in election season. Yeah,
in election season, and I think that's the exact same thing that happens at the local level. That they find issues that play well nationally, and most people don't pay attention to politics. The average person doesn't pay attention to what's going on day to day.
If we're wrong, tell us. 314-436-7900. Clearly not the only passionate ones about this in St. Louis. The phones are going crazy. Let's talk to Maggie on line one. Maggie, welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I'm thinking back to the Jane Byrne administration in Chicago. I think she had a pretty solid hold on Chicago until there was a major snowstorm sometime, I want to say, in the early 80s.
1979.
It cost her a career. Her situation with the streets, not getting trash picked up and ambulances through and the like, it cost her next election.
Yeah. Thank you, Maggie. I don't know if you were talking about that on the air or off the air, Ron, but.
Yeah. It's because the storm came in and the city was completely choked. It was obviously worse than what we're dealing with. This is more of a certain neighborhoods in the city are just and actually certain parts of certain neighborhoods are not handled, have not been handled. But there it was like the entire city.
Yeah.
And it was shut down for 3 or 4 days. People couldn't do anything. And that's how the election was lost.
Let's talk to John on line two. John, welcome to the show. The floor is yours. Go ahead.
Thank you so much for opening the lines. I wish it happened more, but I love your show no matter what.
Thank you, buddy.
Okay. Here's what I got, and I'm serious today. As far as the border and all these illegal criminals, listen to what the Republicans said. I won't go into too much detail, but Bernie Moreno, Senator, the lie that him and Trump share, and a lot of them share, that 425,000 criminals are running free in the country right now from across the border. And they're blaming Mayorkas and Joe Biden. And Harris's name never came up. But here's what they say. The thousands of murderers, rapists, and all this. And what the true fact is, according to CNN and ABC, NBC, all these networks, the BBC, they say that only 25,000 out of the 425,000 came during Biden. The other 400,000 came all the way back from the early 1980s.
This is why we don't do more phone calls. Don't hijack the show. There's a topic that's happening. People are calling in about that topic. It's not whatever topic you want to throw in there, man.
Welcome to the Gas House, gang.
Sorry.
Let's talk to Michael on line four about the garbage situation. Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, everybody. I really don't think that the issues are, really have anything to do with national issues when it comes to electing a mayor in the city of St. Louis. First thing is, you've got to be a Democrat. It's just the way it is. And once you're a Democrat, and you're in. If you do a competent job at these things, nobody cares about whether you're a big progressive or a moderate progressive or anything like that. Vince Schemel got elected many times, and his administration did an adequate job taking care of things, and just the last two mayors have just been. They haven't been very competent at doing these things. But the thing is that the people in St. Louis, they vote for people that look like them and act like them. And so they elected the last one who was a female progressive, and she got in, and she did a whatever kind of job she did. And now Tashara Jones, who's an African-American woman whose father was a politician, Northside politician, and she got in, and she's trying to do the best she can, but she looks and acts like the majority of the people in the city of St. Louis. They're either African-American or progressive.
Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it. Yeah, I understand St. Louis and the long, long history of, Democrat leaders, but what I don't understand is I would think intelligent people would say, okay, this has been bad, not for 1 year or 4 years or 10 years, but a couple of decades at least since we've had competent leadership. I would be ready to vote for a libertarian or a Republican, or let's make some kind of change and see what happens there.
Yeah, I think you can make that argument anywhere. You could say Mississippi is the worst state in the country, yet they keep voting for the same party all the time. Why would they not vote for something better? It's same argument. And
it's because of what we talked about, because everybody's so focused on some big issue instead of focusing on what will change things. Yeah. I mean, like, you're voting because that's my team when I vote for president. But if they're not making your life better, if your education system stinks, or if your downtown's falling apart, and you don't have enough police, or you can't clear the roads, what difference does any of that other stuff make?
We only have a couple minutes left here. This is unfair, but eventually we're going to spend the Rams money and all the other hundreds of millions of dollars that we have sitting there to spend. I feel like, and this is very simplistic, but if we don't put the majority of that into infrastructure and safety, then we deserve what we get.
Yeah, well, yes. I think there is a really good chance we're going to blow it. Mm-hmm. We're going to blow it. A once-in-a-generation opportunity, $500 million, and we're going to blow it. Because if we can't get our act together to plow the streets 2 weeks after a snowstorm,
good point.
If the St. Louis school system is absolutely falling apart and it's the leadership, why would I think that we're not going to blow it?
We're already blowing it. We have so many things that we could be spending it on. And we haven't done a single thing with it. It's been years. It's not been months. It's not been weeks. It's been literal years since we've had this money. And we're no closer than we were before we had it to finding something to do with it, even though there are so many things we could do with it.
I don't pretend to be a politico. I don't understand I certainly don't understand the inner workings of St. Louis city government. So I'm speaking out of relative ignorance, but just playground rules, right? I mean, just the basic stuff you learned in elementary school. You're sitting on a bunch of money and you have a bunch of very definable, very obvious problems. Let's take care of those first. And then if there's some icing on the cake, then we can eat the icing.
Well, I mean, you have to build out, right? You have to start with a core. Your core is downtown. How do you get businesses back? How do you draw people to your city and your region? Because that's how you build to fix problems for the long term, not just sitting on the money and putting it in an account. One for sorrow.